You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we talk about states like Mississippi and North Carolina that are facing boycotts for passing what they describe as religious liberty laws. A lot of critics say they actually discriminate against the LGBT community.
First, trumpeter swans like those that we just heard were once abundant in much of North America, including Wisconsin. But during the 19th century, overhunting and other factors greatly reduced their populations, eventually landing them on the endangered species list.
In the 1980s, biologists in Wisconsin started reintroducing the species to the wild. For the past several decades, these recovery efforts have become a big success.
Here to talk more about this comeback story is Sumner Madison, avian biologist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Sumner, welcome to Central Time.
Pleasure to be with you.
Well, how would you say trumpeter swans are doing in Wisconsin today?
They are doing incredibly well. We have a population of 4,695 as of the last survey in 2015.
And it hasn't always been this way. This has been a long road to recovery. What sort of situation was the swan population in, if you go back, a century or so?
Sure. They were once fairly common throughout most of the northern United States and Canada, but market hunting and the millinery trade rapidly depleted breeding populations during the 19th century. Thousands of swan skins, mostly from trumpeters, were sent to Europe, where they were used to make ladies' powder puffs, while the feathers were used to adorn fashionable women's hats. So by the late 1800s, it was widely believed that the species had become extinct. But fortunately, a small non-migratory population survived in the remote mountain valleys of Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming. And in 1932, 69 trumpeter swans were documented in that region, and in 1935, the Fish and Wildlife Service established Red Rock Lakes National Wildlife Refuge in the Montana Centennial Valley. So with protection there and in the adjacent Yellowstone National Park, what is known as the tri-state subpopulation of southwestern Montana, east-central Idaho, and northwestern Wyoming increased to about 640 birds by the late 1950s. And then the state of Minnesota got involved in the mid-1960s, and we followed in the mid-1980s.
And you were at the center of this effort, as I understand it. How did we go about bringing back trumpeter swans in Wisconsin?
Well, we looked at a variety of techniques. We started off in 1987 and 1988, while waiting in line behind Minnesota to go to Alaska to collect trumpeter swan eggs, because there were no trumpeter swans in the wild back then. The only folks that had trumpeter swans were game farms. So in 1987 and 1988, we utilized a technique called cross-fostering as a reintroduction technique, using mute swans as foster parents, mainly at a marsh site in southeastern Wisconsin. Well, we used 35 trumpeter swan eggs from avicultural sources, but we experienced very poor hatching success and survival, with only two cygnets or young swans reaching fledging age. So that technique was discontinued after the 1988 season and replaced by an innovative technique called decoy rearing, which was developed by the University of Wisconsin's Department of Wildlife Ecology in partnership with the DNR.
Right, so what is decoy rearing?
So decoy rearing involves imprinting cygnets on a life-size trumpeter swan decoy immediately after hatching, and then transporting the cygnets when they're about 3 to 5 days of age to sites at that time in northern Wisconsin, where they then followed floating decoys manipulated by University of Wisconsin interns in camouflaged float tube blinds. Hmm. So that was the decoy rearing technique. The other main technique that we employed was called captive rearing, where cygnets were raised in captivity until 2 years of age. Their flight feathers were trimmed and the birds released at selected wetland sites in north central and northwestern Wisconsin. And those two basically form the basis for our restoration effort, which began in full in 1989 when we flew to Alaska to collect trumpeter swan eggs for transport back to the Milwaukee County Zoo, where all of the collected Alaskan eggs were incubated during 1989 through 1997. A third, much less important technique, but still part of our program, was something called captive parent rearing. And that basically allowed cooperators to hold private pairs whose young, when they were produced, were released as yearlings. So those three techniques, but mainly decoy rearing and captive rearing, comprised the basis for the recovery effort.
Right, and so this has all been astonishingly successful. And for Wisconsinites who may not have seen a trumpeter swan and you know, except for the fact that they were struggling as a population, as a species in Wisconsin, wonder, you know, why they're so cool. These are kind of magnificent birds, aren't they?
They really are spectacular birds. They have a wingspan of more than 7 feet, and they stand about 4 feet high. They in fact, are the largest native waterfowl species in North America. So they are just a fantastic sight. To hear them and to see them flying, imagining a very large bird with a wingspan of more than 7 feet, and just a beautiful trumpet-like call. They really are a graceful and beautiful symbol of our wetlands.
And the name trumpeter swan, it comes from the call that they make, right?
Correct. Correct.
Does it sound like a trumpet?
It does. It does sound like a trumpet. And it's quite something to hear them. If you hear them before you see them, especially on a foggy spring or fall morning, and then you see them coming through the mist, it's a dramatic and spectacular sight, one that you will never forget.
We're talking with Sumner Madison right now about trumpeter swan recovery in Wisconsin. And going back to those initial trips to get trumpeter swan eggs in Alaska, you were on those trips. What was that like for you?
It was very interesting because I had an inner ear problem that I didn't know at the time. And so flying in a jet was fine, but getting up in a small bush plane was quite a challenge for me. That first year, I was collecting both for Wisconsin and the state of Michigan. We spent 13 hours collecting eggs. This is in the land of the midnight sun, near the Minto Flats in east central Alaska. And I was given conflicting advice as to whether I should have a large meal or a small meal. And I opted for the latter and unfortunately lost that within the first 20 minutes of
Oh, no.
At one point, the pilot biologist, Rod King, affectionately called Sky King, he turned to me and he said, "You're not going to expire on me, are you?" And that first year I will never forget it, and I discovered then afterwards that I had this inner ear problem, and I had to take some medication to combat that. But the other thing that's important about that first year is that one of the eggs that I collected, that egg was hatched out at the Milwaukee County Zoo. That bird, as far as we know, is still alive, hatched out actually on my birthday on June 15th, and is going to be turning 27 years old. It's the oldest known banded trumpeter swan in North America.
And this is a swan known as 82K, isn't it?
That's correct, yeah.
Would you recognize her if you saw her?
She still has a collar. It's kind of worn, a little bit dilapidated, but I would recognize her by the collar.
So just briefly, Sumner, as we wrap up, going to be a new playbook for how to approach wildlife management?
Well, it's an interesting question. Probably the key lesson here is patience and persistence. When we started in 1987 with cross-fostering, we experienced, as I mentioned, dismal success. Of 35 cross-fostered eggs, only two cygnets survived a fledging. So with a recovery goal of 20 breeding and migratory pairs by the year 2000, we were stuck at 17 to 18 nesting pairs in the late 1990s. Well, then in the year 2000, we had 44 nesting pairs, and ever since then, our trumper numbers have soared. So I remind my colleagues working with the whooping crane that they've experienced their share of setbacks these past 15 years, as we did our first 15 years. So I can say, okay, you've had your 15-year cross to bear. Now you'll begin to see success greeting you.
Oh, we hope they do. Sumner, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Sumner Madison is an avian biologist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and that trumpeter swan recovery effort has been so successful that the program has officially been retired. For now, trumpeters in Wisconsin are thriving.
Coming up after the news, we talk about celebrity and business boycotts of states that passed anti-LGBT religious liberty laws. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay tuned. There's more Central Time coming up.